interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a beautiful TGIF edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Lutryoff Golf Course and Country Club on 1037 The Game. Ben Love right here in the thick of it. I heard something a while ago that I have to lead off with. They're drinking a lot of the beer out here today. I literally watched, and yeah, you know I'm leading off with this detail. I watched them restock one of the beer carts they had to take out there, and this realization quickly, and I mean really quickly, set in on me. I'm the only person on the grounds today at the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open, presented by Mistras, without a club in his hand or a beer. The weather is pristine. And right now they're playing some pretty good golf as well. The leaders, and there are two of them, last I saw at 11 under, will have multiple check-ins today on the leaderboard between now and 5:30 when we deposit you into a pretty, pretty fun place, if I may say so myself. We're sending you to Athens, Georgia, LSU, Georgia, SEC Baseball, 5:30. The pregame show, 6 p.m. is your first pitch in Athens. Between now and then, a lot to get to. I'll lead with some updates on the madness, and not just the NCAA tournament, but more words from Joe Oliva, and still nary a word from Will Wade. You want to jump in? We got time. 706-0111. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce my good friend, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big, too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We've got a little more madness today. After yesterday was fairly benign, I think we can say, the Racers of Murray State, a 12 seed winning, probably the biggest upset we saw. Other than that, a whole bunch of chalk and a record setter. Wofford's got a kid that can fill it up from deep, and they're going to advance to take on Kentucky in the round of 32. But as far as today's action goes, in the Eastern region that LSU occupies, no games have been played yet. But you will get to see Duke tip off against North Dakota State. That one's 6:10. Same side of the bracket, VCU, UCF. That'll be a late night show. Also in LSU's region, Mississippi State looking to do something for the Magnolia State because the Rebels did not represent. More on that in a moment. But State's going to take on Liberty. That's a 6:27 tip. Virginia Tech, St. Louis, late tonight at about 9 o'clock. So those are the teams you care about that LSU could face if they get through this opening weekend in Jacksonville. Now, as far as the games that have already been played, let's take you to the South bracket. We've got two that have been completed. Number 10, Iowa, over number 7, Cincinnati. That 7-10 game never really feels like an upset when it goes that way. 79-72. The winner will get either Tennessee or Colgate, and that one has been an absolute dogfight. I'll do my best to get you an update as we speak. As I was coming into the show, Tennessee was struggling to close it out, and here we go. Looks like they have. Sound the alarms, Clint. Tennessee, 77, Colgate, 70, which is good for Ben Love. Third-person drop. I've got them all the way to the final game. So Rick Barnes in Tennessee will take on the Iowa Hawkeyes on Sunday. Staying in that South region, and here's the game I was referencing. Another SEC team, and this one took it on the chin. Ole Miss loses to Oklahoma. That was an 8-9 game. How about 95-72? And no, Buddy Hield, Blake Griffin, they weren't walking through that door. That was a demonstrative blowout. And so Oklahoma, in all likelihood, is going to face number one Virginia on Sunday. The Cavs leading right now 71-50. Over Gardner Webb. Also in the South, we got what's our new biggest upset in the tourney today. UC Irvine, the Anteaters. That's a baseball school. They're a 13 seed. They beat number 4 Kansas State, and they'll take on the winner of either Wisconsin or Oregon in play right now. I've got Oregon winning that game. So far, the Ducks up 17-11 on the Badges. Let's go to the Western bracket. A game that's already finished, Texas Tech over North Kentucky, 72-57. That's a 3 over a 14, and they'll take on the winner of Buffalo versus Arizona State. Currently, that's a game that Buffalo is leading by a wide margin. Nearing halftime, it's 44-31. That's the action going on right now. What you need to know about as it pertains to LSU basketball, and I led off with this, I hinted at it. It's a storyline that won't go away. The quote given last night from LSU AD Joe Oliva to the stadium, specifically Jeff Goodman, now working for that organization. I wish he'd come in and just tell the truth. That's Joe Oliva on Will Wade. I get it, yet I don't like it. I'll explain. I get it. And I've been leading you like a horse to water for, it feels like the better part of a month now, to an eventuality, to something that is certain. And in my mind, it's never been more certain. Will Wade will never coach at LSU again. So the I get it part of my statement is just that. This is Joe Oliva defending himself, defending the university. And here's the important part, is you have to spin this thing forward. You can't be an all shucks fan and say, Joe is terrible, you got to go. He may need to go. I won't disagree with you there. But you're using this as causation when in reality, in my opinion, the Les Miles fiasco late 2015 into middle to late 2016 was a much more fireable offense for Joe Oliva. So we may not disagree that he needs to go. But using this as the fulcrum point is interesting to me to watch the LSU fan base do that. Not surprising, just interesting. But I get this because he's defending his and the university's position. And the spinning it forward part that I'm alluding to, he's preparing you for the fact that they're going to fire Will Wade, termination with cause. That's exactly what this is. And that's why I get it. He's laying more of the foundation for the fact that they're going to fire this man. And I thought for some time it would happen somewhere between 24 and 48 hours from when LSU season came to an end. But that's the part of this story that leads me to say, yet I don't like it. I get it from Joe Oliva. It's posturing, but I don't like it. Because if you're going to wait until after the season to rip the Band-Aid off and fire Wade, and that is inevitable, trust me. If you're doing that maybe to protect this team and the run that they're on, then why in the hell are you making this comment between the round of 64 and the round of 32? What is going on in that noggin of yours to make that type of statement? And so I get it because it's posturing. He's preparing you for the inevitable. They're going to fire the man. Of course they are at this point. And I'll come back to that in a second. But I don't understand the timing. Just because a national outlet will interview you doesn't mean you have to talk. And I'm not sure that Oliva, with some of the national media members, or specifically, and I don't mind putting this on Front Street, with Scott Rabelais, the Advocate, I've never really understood why Oliva feels like he has to take some of those opportunities when no comment is probably the way to go. And because of the timing of this, literally halfway between LSU's first round game and their second round game, he makes this comment. I just don't for the life of me understand it. But as every day passes, one other thing is very clear to me, and it becomes more clear to me. I understand why LSU is taking their position. They're liable. They want their guy to come in. They need to protect the shield, so to speak. I understand why they have suspended him. I understand why they will fire him. I've understood their position for a while. But with every passing day, it's more clear to me that Wade doesn't really have an alternative either. And I haven't been anti-Wade necessarily. I just get it from an employer's perspective, and I've been trying to share that with you for some time. In no industry would you be allowed to do some of the things that Wade has done without repercussions. But Wade is doing this understanding the repercussions. So somebody who will be put on the stand by the FBI and is not on trial in this case is more than likely, to some capacity, cooperating with the FBI. I get why Wade won't talk. I get why LSU wants him to talk. And so what we have right now is an inevitable impasse But what we shouldn't have right now is a distraction in the middle of the NCAA tournament. So as far as the Oliva thing goes, I'm sure you expected me to address it. That's how I feel. It's twofold, and yet I think it's pretty simple. I get it. Posturing to defend what he's going to inevitably have to do and preparing people for it. Yet I don't like it because the timing is stupid. Just let it go. Put your support behind the current team, behind Tony Benford. You got to roll the dice against Maryland, and then you might get Tom Izzo. And if you've seen how hopping mad he was yesterday, you may not like him when he's angry. More on that later in the program as well. We've only got an hour and a half today. We're already about 13 minutes in. On the other side of this break, we're going to Jacksonville. My good friend, Kent Lowe, LSU Sports Information Director. And he's been in that capacity for LSU Hoops for a generation. I'm excited to talk with Kent Lowe live from Jacksonville. At 5 o'clock, it's the On Deck Circle with James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. You're listening to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back out to Le Triomphe Golf Course and Country Club on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
I get the feeling that our next guest won't mind the bumper music one bit. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back out to beautiful Broussard, Louisiana, and we're at Le Triomphe Golf Course and Country Club on 103.7 The Game. We'll take a trip out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, live from Jacksonville, Florida. It's our good friend Kent Lowe, Senior Associate, LSU Athletic Director. How are you, Kent?
Pretty good, Ben. How are you? And I guess if I couldn't be in Jacksonville, that wouldn't be a bad spot to be where you're at.
It's a little hot, but I got to tell you, it's clear, hardly a cloud in the sky, and they're playing some really good golf. Ken, I'll lead by asking you this. LSU hasn't been in this spot since, what, 2009 at this point. Obviously, none of these guys, coaches or players, were around. How do you find that this group is handling what's becoming more and more uncharted territory?
Well, I tell you, now you have at least guys that have experienced it. I mean, before the first game, only Cavell Bigby Williams had ever played in an NCAA tournament game, and that was at Oregon. So at least now the guys have experienced it. They've experienced press conferences. They've experienced the media charging into the locker room. They've done it now. They know what the routine is. So now it's just playing another basketball game tomorrow. You've done all the prep. You've done all the media stuff. You've done every interview you can think of over the course of the last 3 days, including today. And now it's time to get ready to play a basketball game, which this team knows what to do when they play a basketball game so far.
Compared to, a score of other LSU Hoops teams that you've been around, is this one more loose? Are they more uptight? How do you find this group?
I really think when you look at the chemistry of this team, you can compare it to 06, even though it's not the same regional makeup as that 06 team, which, as you well remember, was mainly Baton Rouge, Daryl Mitchell from St. Martinville. But while that group was tight in a not only on the court but in a geographical sense, these guys have come from, in many cases, all over the country and have blended together pretty well. And that chemistry is what's carried them a long way this season in many respects.
Kent Lowe, our guest, a splendid Twitter follow if you haven't already done so, at LSU Kent. What has been your observation of Skylar Mays? And it's somebody I've known for quite some time, and you have too, Kent. But when you look at his maturation, freshman year, Johnny Jones was still the coach. Now he's a junior, goes off for 19 points yesterday and really led the Tigers. How has he transformed his game and really who he is as a person?
I was telling Jamie Erdahl, the sideline reporter, today, we were talking about Skylar, and, you know, it's funny. I think back to the media session before the first, what was going to be the first practice before Wade's tragic death, and he was joking with the media that, well, guys, I'm going to be here for a fourth year because I've just switched majors and I've lost 30 hours of credit. And everybody was just, you know, laughing and so, you know, couldn't believe that the kid lost 30 hours of credit when you switch from pre-med biology to pre-med kinesiology. But I am so excited and happy that he got first-team COSIDA Academic All-American. I mean, that really says a lot. I've watched this kid play twice this year, play a road game on Wednesday, and come have to take a test Thursday night after practice and then take another one Thursday or Friday morning in classes I couldn't even imagine going to, much less telling you the name of half of them. But, and the great thing is when he's on the court, he's gone over 1,000 career points. He's had his best year scoring. Yeah, I'm a huge Skylar Mays fan, and I'm going to be for a long, long time, whether he plays anywhere else after his senior year at LSU or not. He's just an outstanding human being who does it not only off the court, but on the court as well, and it's really been a pleasure.
Well, given the fact that he may one day operate on us or help us to rehab from an injury, we probably should like him a little bit.
Well, I would think so, and most of his family is too. I remember Ben, and this is going to date me a lot, one of his uncles, Dr. David Mays, was a football player, played for the old Shreveport Steamer of the World Football League at one point in his career. So, yeah, I've sort of known of this Mays family for a long time.
That is the reference we were hunting for. All right, I want to ask you about that coaching staff, and forget about the outside noise and everything happening with Will Wade. Just internally, with Tony Benford and the troops that he's leading, how have you seen them circle the wagons and do what they're attempting to do without Wade?
Well, the one thing I will say is, Ben, that Coach Wade gave the three of them a lot of responsibility in that, you know, one has the scout for the game, another one would handle the defense, another would handle the offense, and a lot of that is what you're seeing on the bench now. Like, Bill Armstrong will have the scout for tomorrow's game. Greg Heyer had the scout for Thursday's game. Bill's handling a lot of the substitutions. Tony's involved in some of the offensive play calls. But when you watch it on the bench, it really is kind of what Tony Benford said a few times. They're really kind of co-coaches out there. And a lot of that is because of how things have gone during the season with the way Coach Wade ran his bench, where everyone on that bench had certain responsibilities and certain parts of the game plan. And I think that has probably helped a little bit in how this has gone so far.
I think our listeners will be curious to know as well, since you've got boots on the ground in Jacksonville, which fan bases are represented with the colors walking through the hotels as they go through the streets? I mean, you've got Duke out there, Virginia Tech. Is it LSU, Michigan State? Who are you seeing a lot of?
Well, at this regional, it's been a lot of Kentucky because you do have the different pods that they play here. So
that's
you
right.
Have the part of the Midwest region and the East region. So it's been, it'll be Maryland. There's a lot of red here. You're seeing some red. You're seeing a lot of blue, obviously, for Kentucky. And, Wofford, there's some fans around here. I think they're in another part of town at their hotel. But I think you have two interesting games. I said yesterday after we won that if Kentucky won, that these two games would probably be in the standalone national window for CBS tomorrow, and that's proven to be true, as these will be the first two games that will be on tomorrow from here in Jacksonville at the tournament.
We're finishing up with Kent Lowe on 103.7 The Game and you're going to give us some local expertise on high school bowling, even from Jacksonville. And you've said this in columns before. I'll reiterate it and then put it on a tee for you. Bowling in the LHSAA level is maybe the only pure sport left that's not utilizing the split. And you're right.
Yeah, it is, and it's a new format this year. Instead of everybody going through bi-regionals and regionals and all that stuff, they have come up with a power rating system, basically like they use for football and basketball and all those sports. And basically, they're 32 boys teams and 16 girls teams that will start Monday and Tuesday. The boys will get it down to their final four, so to speak. And Tuesday, the action is at Acadiana Lanes. They're Ben and Lafayette, and I know Lafayette and Acadiana from there are in the bracket that will bowl at Acadiana Lanes starting at 10:30 Tuesday morning. So if you want to go out and watch some pretty good bowling, it's a great chance to come out and support a couple of your local teams that are in action, trying to get to the championship round, which will be held in early April here in Baton Rouge.
And I know from our prior conversation that Monday you'll have some of those qualifying matches in Kenner, and then Tuesday, as you said, 10:30 a.m. right here at Acadiana Lane. So this is pretty cool stuff.
And the Lafayette girls, by the way, are the fourth seed in the girls' playoff bracket, which will bowl two matches on the 28th, I think that's, Thursday? That must be Thursday of next week, that has a chance to get to the state finals, and that'll be in Baton Rouge on Thursday. But Lafayette's the four seed in the girls, and they have won the state championship in past years, so they're always very good. So they've got a good chance to probably make it to the state semifinals.
He is Kent Lowe, helping us knock it down when it comes to LSU versus Maryland Prep, as well as some local bowling action. Kent, we appreciate you doing this. Enjoy Jacksonville, my friend.
All right, Ben. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Kent Lowe, as I've told you before on this program, a man that loves to serve as a lector at St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. I know this because I grew up attending that church, went to middle school there, and as I've told you before, he likes doing that 7:45 Mass on Christmas morning. So it would not be a stretch for me to again say that Kent Lowe is the voice of Christmas. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're brought to you here at the 28th Chittimacha, Louisiana Open, presented by Mistras, by a group of dedicated local sponsors. It's a group that includes GolfBalls.com, Cajun Carts, Mike's Marine and ATV, Mueller's Family Pharmacy and Gifts, and Louisiana Range Gun Club. B2BS coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And you know we're proud to be back out at the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. It continues to be one of the top stops on the web.com tour. It has been now for quite some time, and it will continue to be for at least 5 years. We learned that earlier this week. Right about now, it's time to give you a leaderboard update. Here's what's going on. Clint, when I arrived, it was a two-way tie at the top at 11 under. From what you just told me, there are now five that share the lead.
Yeah, two. It's currently a five-way tie, Ben, and I was definitely surprised at that, like heading to that break, because you have Justin Lauer, who wound up being one of the big performers today, 63, 8 under on the day. He's currently tied alongside Greg Yates, Ben Coles, Vince Covello, and Boo Weekly, who shot up the boards after shooting a 69 on Thursday. He shot a 63 earlier today. Mind you, Covello and Ben Coles, they've still got a little work left to do.
So, where are they all right now? What's their mark?
Currently, you got Ben Coles. He's at 15. And then, Coles is at 15. And then you got Vince Covello. He is currently, he started off on the back nine. So, currently, he's on his fifth hole of the day. So, he could very well.
I'll rephrase that, my good friend. what are they shooting for the tournament right now?
No, they're shooting for the tournament right now. All these guys are shooting at 11 under right now.
There we go. All right, so when I got here, there were two at 11 under. Now you're telling me that there are five at 11 under. It includes Boo Weekly, who's made a big push up the boards, and yet another. Who's on their tail? And give me maybe some other notable names on the leaderboard.
Okay, let me kind of rephrase this, because this just updated 2 seconds ago as I was bringing up who was in a five-way tie for first. Boo Weekly just dropped into a tie for fifth place at 10 under on the day, alongside Casey Wittenberg, Zinjun Zhang, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, and like I said, it's a three-way tie for fifth place. And then we got to bring up our guy Jacob Bergeron. He's currently tied for 52nd at 3 under. I'm not gonna call it a lock of being at that cut line, but I definitely think he's got a good shot at it.
Are you seeing at this point a projected cut line?
I'm not seeing a projected cut line at this very. Oh, here we go, -3. So he'd be in there like swimwear. Of course, that could wind up changing.
Yeah, that means that he's got to finish as strong as he can.
Well, he's done for the day.
Oh, he did finish? Okay, thank you for that part. All right, so the projected cut line is 3 under. Got a roar from the crowd right now. And we're starting to get some of the scores courtesy of Clint Domang. We appreciate the update. And now I've got a question for you. For those following this tournament, we'll continue to give you updates. In fact, our next scheduled one is for 5:15. So less than 40 minutes from now, we'll let you know if it still remains a four-way tie at the top. We'll let you know if the line to make is still 3 under and if the leaders are still at 11 under. But it's time to transition into what I think is an interesting question, and pay attention to how it's phrased, because the devil is in the details, CD. Exciting and new. LSU Pro Day going on today over outside of the Ponderosa and inside the confines of your indoor facility. And a lot of chatter about the New Orleans Saints honing in on Foster Moreau and taking a really good look at a tight end at a Jesuit high school in New Orleans. I think it's safe to say at times, especially in the Miles era, perhaps a little underutilized at LSU. Never a prolific pass catcher, but always a pretty big part of their offense. So keeping that in mind, here's your sink or swim question of the day. Will the Saints draft LSU's Foster Moreau? I'm not saying should they. I can probably guess what you'd say to that question. Given the history of the Saints, LSU players, staying away from them in large numbers, will the Saints draft Foster Moreau? Call us when you're ready. 706-0111. I think they should. I don't think they will, but I'll put an asterisk on it. I don't think they will if they stay where they're at with their draft picks currently. The Saints have the 62nd overall pick. That is really toward the back end of round two. Almost, in fact, the last pick of round two. After that, you got a bit of a chasm. Saints draft within 10 picks of each other toward the middle to end of round five. They got number 168, number 177. So the point is this. There's a round two pick late. You've got two picks in round five, two picks in round six, and one in round seven. Yes, you can mine for gold late. We know the Patriots have done it with Tom Brady. We know the Saints have done it, for example, with Marcus Colston. But those are fewer and farther between each year that passes by, in my opinion, as the scouting improves and gets better. Just go back and look at how many of the Saints' late-round draft picks they kept from 2018. All the guys that everybody was excited about, right? A lot of conversation about Natrell Jamerson and, what, Rick Leonards and some of these guys. Well, they're on a milk carton now. So my point to you is this. I don't have a lot of faith that the Saints are going to get Foster Moreau at pick 168 overall in the fifth round. So, that leads me to one of two conclusions. If they want him, they got to take him at the end of the second round, and that might be a little rich for Foster Moreau's blood, in my opinion. Or they're going to have to trade up and find a way maybe into the third round, possibly the early fourth round. Again, I'm not Mel Kiper Jr. I'm not making a living off this thing, but my gut tells me you're probably not getting Foster Moreau, who had a dynamite showing at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, who continues to climb the charts with a performance that I think took a lot of people off guard as well with how he ran at the combine. And today at LSU's Pro Day, Saints took a lot of interest. I'm excited to be able to report that to you. But will they take him? I just have my doubts, given the history with LSU players. And, yeah, that changed last year with Will Clapp. But even bigger than that, I don't think they're in a range to get him with what they've got now. So will Ireland and Loomis move up? Can they find a way to pair together some of those late-round draft picks and get into the third round? I think that's the only way this happens. If they like him that much and they take him at the end of the second round, I don't think a lot of people would knock it, because we all recognize it's one of the biggest positions of need. They haven't yet addressed it in this offseason via free agency. So it would fit the need, but does it fit the value of the player? I think that might be another question. Some of you may disagree. You've got your chance to respond. 706-0111. CD, I'm going to sink, but it's not the answer I'd like to give. What say you?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you've been, but, I mean, you're bringing up the fact like they haven't quite addressed that need yet. I understand the Jared Cook deal is not official. There's been nothing released by the New Orleans Saints, but it feels like this could wind up being a thing that winds up taking Will Clapp out of the conversation. Would it be great to Foster Moreau, it'd be great to have him in terms of depth and be able to learn underneath the system of Sean Payton in that offense, but I just can't see it as what you mentioned earlier being a late second-round pick or even a late third, early fourth-round pick, because the fact, again, it's all about if the Jared Cook deal comes into place, but I think they should get him, but I don't think they will because of what's going on with them in free agency.
There's no question that if they solidify the Jared Cook deal, that makes the Foster Moreau thing just about moot, in my opinion. And for whatever it's worth, let's give an update there. Mike Triplett from the Mothership about 3 hours ago tweeted out he is still hearing the Saints Jared Cook deal is likely to happen, but not officially finalized yet. So it depends on how hopped up that you get about likely and maybes. I don't put a ton of stock into that. I'm hopeful that this will happen. I'll put it that way. To me, this would be the biggest splash move the Saints make this offseason in free agency. Frankly, it's the biggest thing that they'll do, including the draft, unless they surprise everyone and trade back up to the first round again and continue to just mortgage the ever-living you-know-what out of the future. I think they've gotten to a point of diminishing returns there. I actually hope this time around the Saints don't trade up into the first round. I think the roster is stacked enough. I don't think you need to diminish your opportunities to draft 2020 and beyond. That's just my opinion. But the Jared Cook thing, you're right. It's got a big bearing on everything that could go down with Foster Moreau. But I know a lot of LSU fans are hoping that this will happen. Will it? We're going to have to wait and see. Just what everybody likes in the world of sports, right? All right, we'll take our final break of this hour. Here's the good news. Phone lines open on the other side. We'll talk a little LSU Maryland, and we also can keep answering the sink or swim question. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out to sunny, beautiful Broussard, Louisiana on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Two games in action when it comes to your bracketology. I'll give you the updates, and we'll take your phone calls. Still looking for the first on this Friday. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Having a blast as the golf ball is flying. It's day two of four, the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. Speaking of updates, Clint will give you another for this fine tournament at 5:15, maybe slightly thereafter. Our live coverage here from Lutryon Golf Course and Country Club, again brought to you by golfballs.com. Visit them online or on Arnold Boulevard. Go see the new owners, the Guidrys at Cajun Carts. They're located northwest of Angelin Thruway next to the Jockey Lot. We'd also like to thank Mueller's Family Pharmacy and Gifts in Abbeville, Louisiana Range Gun Club in Maurice, and Mike's Marine and ATV, located in Broussard and keeping you on the water. I mentioned we've got some action on the hardwood. And right now, I'll first give you, let's see, we'll take a spin around. Let's do Wisconsin-Oregon. That's a 5 versus a 12 in the South Regional, and it just reached the half. It's 25 all. I had the Ducks here in an upset. The winner of that one, Wisconsin-Oregon, on Sunday is going to get UC Irvine. So far, the Anteaters are the biggest upset winner in this 29 big dance. UC Irvine earlier this afternoon beat number 4 Kansas State 70-64. The other game in progress right now, Buffalo, the 6th seed, they're proving me wrong. I did not believe in the Buffalo Bulls. I must have thought it said Buffalo Bills. But right now, Buffalo beating Arizona State 67-47. That one with 11:49 to play in the second half. And so Buffalo on pace to score an awful lot of points in that ball game. You'll recall Arizona State beat St. John's in a play-in game. I thought they'd keep that mojo going. Doesn't look like that will be the case. If Buffalo holds on, Sunday they'll get number 3 Texas Tech. Earlier today, the Red Raiders beat number 14 North Kentucky. Final score 72-57. Your only other finals today both occurred. I'm sorry, we got 4 finals, all in the South region. Iowa beat Cincy. Iowa, the 10 seed on Sunday, will get number 2 Tennessee, also in the South bracket. Number 9 Oklahoma demolished Ole Miss. Final score there, 95-72. Oklahoma will advance to take on Virginia, which dusted off Gardner Webb today. So you've got 6 games that have gone final. You've got 2 that are currently being played and a number of other games that we'll see before too long. So the NCAA tournament in full effect. Let's go a little bit now into LSU versus Maryland. And while the prevailing thought was that Belmont would be a more welcome sight for LSU than Maryland, and I still don't disagree with that, I think some digger deeping shows us that LSU should like its chances against the Terps. And Mark Turgeon, a good coach, but some of the things I continue to hear when I ask around to my people in basketball circles about him kind of reminds me a little bit of what I always used to think and kind of witness when it came to Johnny Jones coach teams. What I'm saying is that Mark Turgeon likes to let him play a little bit. And yes, he's got some athletes. And yes, he's got some good big men. And so this, on paper, wouldn't be a game where offensively, Naz Reid, at least on the interior, and Cavell Bigby-Williams would have a lot of advantages. But on the perimeter, I think LSU's got advantages in spades. A deeper dive reminds that this Maryland team does a good bit of freelancing, that they are turnover-prone, and that LSU's got a really, really good chance going off right now as a minus 140 favorite. Tigers have a pretty decent chance of coming away with a victory here. In fact, one of my closest friends in the LSU circle says, the more I look at this matchup, the more I think that if Tony Benford keeps the team consistent for 40 minutes, LSU should win maybe 5 to 12 points, somewhere in that range. In the big dance, you don't take anything for granted, and I will not, trust me. But I do find that interesting that more and more, as people are doing their film study, looking into Maryland, this is a team that even as a 6 seed has probably underachieved a little bit in its run going through Big Ten play. On the other hand, LSU, a 3 seed, regular season winner in the SEC, for the most part, they've probably overachieved a good bit this season. And you probably prefer them, and here's the thing that it really comes down to for me. Whereas the Will Wade part of this seems unappetizing, right? That he's not going to be the coach. You're thinking about that, and you're looking down the barrel of Michigan State with Tom Izzo, Duke with Coach K. I don't think you're going to quite have that level of concern with Maryland and Mark Turgeon. That's not throwing pre-shade at him, right? No disparaging him, I should say. But the coaching matchup won't be as slanted against LSU and Tony Benford in this one. And so I like their chances, I really do, to go out tomorrow, even at a start time that I don't particularly care for. I like LSU's chances to go out and grab a W and get to the Sweet 16. Now, as we go toward the end of hour number one, I do have a thought to share on the start time of this game. 11:10 Central Time. Our pregame show, for what it's worth, will start at 10:30 tomorrow morning. But 11:10, after LSU played Thursday at 11:40, the message is being sent loud and clear. And I don't care that this one's on CBS as opposed to True TV or whatever the hell that station is that has the Impractical Jokers commercial that is just as goofy as they can come. The message being sent is that LSU's not driving ratings. Because I promise you, the TV types don't care about the scandal. If it's good for their ratings, they'll put you in prime time. And that's why yesterday I suspected that LSU might lasso a 4:30, 5 o'clock range start. That they wouldn't get prime time, right? They're not going to be 6:45, 7:30, even 8 o'clock. I get that. But I got to tell you, this one caught me off guard. I woke up this morning to the tweet from Cody Worsham about midnight last night. They were able to confirm that this would be an 11:10 Central Time tip. Hope you don't want to watch them on the West Coast, brother. A 9:10 Pacific Coast start time. And so I got to tell you, this one surprised me. But it's sending a message that it's not just the NCAA that probably would prefer LSU be out of the spotlight. Even the national decision makers at CBS aren't pegging this one as one of their big draws. And that surprised me, but it's making a bit of a statement that I didn't anticipate. I have no problem telling you that today on this Friday. All right, we're going to spend a little more time than normal, CD, with this final word. So we'll fire up the music, and then we'll get at it.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Hope. And clearly today, a hope, probably a long-term dream, was fulfilled. LSU linebacker Devin White announced that he has signed a deal with Nike. So let me emphasize again that a middle linebacker who does not put a hand in the ground and blitz the quarterback, who's not an out-and-out edge rusher, a linebacker that just goes and tackles the ball carrier for the most part. I know Devin White can get his sacks, but you catch my drift. As an interior linebacker, Devin White inked the deal with Nike. How freaking cool is that? I mean, that's not even something, unless I'm mistaken, that Roquan Smith was able to accomplish coming out of Georgia last year. Devin White had a hope, I would imagine, to get drafted highly and sign this type of shoe deal. He fulfilled it today. Now, here is my hope. My hope is that the people at Nike don't miss a golden opportunity to tie in any commercials, promotional ad work done with Devin White. If they miss the boat here on including Daisy May or any form of horse-related Devin White advertising, they should all be stripped of their jobs. Because could you imagine how awesome Devin White Nike commercials would be if he's riding through whatever team drafts him, their field on a horse, just scooping up quarterbacks and ball carriers, and he's doing it? That would be some of the coolest, just I can imagine right now in my head, that'd be some of the coolest visual commercial work of all time. So Devin White fulfilled a hope, and it's my hope that Nike doesn't drop the damn ball here. Put Devin White on Daisy May. Get her in the commercial. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back with James Moran on 103.7 The Game.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
It's time to get you ready for LSU baseball. Step into the on-deck circle with James Moran on 103.7 The Game.
There you go. It's on a tee. Let's crush it. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back out to Lutryoff Golf Course and Country Club on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here in Broussard, the famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We'll get back to the golf momentarily, but right now we head out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, and you heard the man. It's time to talk with James Moran. He's the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. How are you, James?
Doing well, Ben. Doing well. How about yourself?
Look, life is good, but I know that for you, like me, this is one of the last items on today's agenda. So let's knock this bad boy out. The Tigers will be in Athens How for real is this Georgia team, and how formidable of an opponent are they?
Oh, I think they're pretty for real, Ben. I mean, this is a team that was a national seed a year ago, when that was kind of a surprise. But this year, I think they're not sneaking up on anybody. This team's got a really good pitching staff. I mean, if you look at their starting rotation, the three guys that LSU will see this weekend are combined 10-0, and all their ERAs are 2.5 or better. So I think runs are going to be tough to come by. LSU's been swinging the bats all right. They not particularly well on Wednesday night against Nichols, but they swung the bats pretty well against Kentucky last week. But this is definitely going to be a step up in competition, I would say. One, it's the hardest opponent they've seen all year, and two, this team's, you know, small sample size, but this team's really struggled on the road. I mean, they're 0-4 away from home. They got swept in Texas. They dropped a midweek game at Northwestern State, so I think everyone understands they're going to have to play a much better brand of baseball this weekend if they're going to win a game or, dare I say, win 2 out of 3 on the road here.
James, give me maybe two guys from LSU's pitching staff that showed you something in the Kentucky series. Could be a starter, could be a reliever.
Well, I think you'd have to start with Zach Hess. I mean, that was the start we were all kind of waiting for, right? 7 innings, 1 run. He was more economic in terms of his pitch count. He was obviously much more efficient in terms of not giving up runs or, you know, not walking guys, keeping guys off the base paths. So I think you had to be really encouraged with what you saw from him. I was also pretty impressed with Cole Henry, what he did on Saturday. I know the stat line wasn't as good, but it's kind of weird when you're a freshman, I think, pitching with as big of a lead as he ended up having. But another guy I'll throw in there is Devin Fontana, who's the guy who came in for Hess. I think he gave you 5 shutout innings. I think this is now 2 outings in a row where he's going on and been dominant for 4 or 5 innings in a 1-run or tie game that LSU really needed him. I think he's kind of emerging as one of the real go-to guys in that bullpen. And, you know, maybe that's his role more than a setup man or a closer. Maybe he's the guy that he comes in once a weekend and gives you as long as he can. And, you know, maybe that's a role that works for him. But he's the guy that really impressed me with his last 2 times out, how good he's been in really kind of clutch situations when LSU's needed him in a tight ball game.
James Moran, editor at Tiger Rag Magazine, also one of the co-hosts of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can hear Tuesday, 6 p.m. right here on 103.7 The Game. Hey, one of your partners in crime, Jeff Palermo, he's in Athens calling the game, and I saw he tweeted out the lineup. Any surprise for you that Chris Reed remains starting at third base, batting cleanup? Do you think that can continue for the remainder of SEC play?
Yeah, I'm definitely starting at third base. I'm not sure if he's going to bat cleanup all year. I think at some point Daniel Cabrera will probably get that spot back. I just think he's more of a power threat. But, I mean, this Chris Reed thing has been almost too unbelievable to be a fluke. You know, it's kind of like Austin Bain last year where after a while you just kind of stop asking questions and just keep putting the guy in the lineup and letting him work. I mean, what he did on Wednesday night, I mean, for those who don't know, he was sitting out with a sore arm. They were giving him the night off. He hadn't taken a swing all week. He hadn't practiced all week. All he'd done was sit around in a jacket. So LSU's down by a run in the ninth inning. The tying runs on second base with 2 outs. He comes up. He doesn't even take a practice swing. He takes 2 strikes, and then he doubles in the left center field gap to tie the game. That's just kind of Chris Reed. I mean, when he came back after being off the team for 6 months, Palmieri said that he was pretty sure Chris Reed could fall out of bed and still dunk hits in the left field, and they kind of put that theory to the test that he showed he can. He's been – I think they like him in that cleanup spot because he has really good at-bats. I mean, he doesn't chase pitches. He sees a lot of pitches. He takes his walks when they're presented to him. And right now he's been hitting. So I think – I definitely think he's going to be in this lineup for the long haul and until something changes drastically. I mean, they don't really have a ton of options. I mean – pretty much the infield for second and third base is him, Hal Hughes, and Brant Broussard. And right now, Reed's the guy hitting the best out of the three, and he's the veteran. He's kind of been the steady presence there. So I think he's going to hit cleanup all year? I kind of doubt it, but you never know. Maybe they just kind of like him there. But do I see him holding on at third base all year? Yeah, I definitely do at this point.
James, I won't run up and down the entire lineup that's been released, but interesting to me that Giovanni DiGiacomo, the freshman lefty, he's going to make his 7th start of the season. He'll be DHing and batting 7th. Is that a matchups thing, or is he starting to maybe earn some more keep?
I think it is kind of a matchups thing. You know, I mean, just look at the Georgia starters' stat line. He's got an ERA of 0.58 So runs are going to be tough to come by. I just think they like having that element of speed in the lineup. I mean, he ignited a rally the other night with basically a routine ground ball to second base that he beat out. He then stole second base and then scored on a single to center. So I just think that, you know, someone's got a DH. They don't really have anybody else that's swinging the bat particularly well that's not already in the lineup. And I think they like the things that DiGiacomo can create with his speed. He's a good bunter. He's a little bit more pop, though we haven't really seen any of that this year. But I think really it's about the fact that some other guys haven't taken advantage of the opportunities, and they just kind of like his speed as another way to maybe create some offense on the base paths.
Before we let you go, we're talking now with James Moran of Tiger Ag Magazine on Twitter, at Smartest Moran. Any other updates you could provide on some of the pitchers who are injured, not the guys who are done for the season, but the guys who are making their way back toward full health?
Well, I thought it was really encouraging the way Chase Costello came back and threw on Wednesday night. I mean, not only did he look healthy, but he was throwing the ball 93, 94 miles an hour, which we hadn't seen from him before he had the little whatever was going on with his arm. So that I thought was extremely positive. He looked really good. As for Jaden Hill, he threw twice this week. He didn't make the trip, but they think that they're going to try to ramp up his activity next week. And if he responds well, then, you know, you kind of start to see more of a timeline crystallize of when he could get back in action. Landon Marceau was just sick. He wasn't really dealing with any kind of injury or anything like that. He pitched through a little bit of a stomach bug on Wednesday night, and, you know, he didn't look great, but I think that's more of a matter of just not feeling very good than anything going on with his arm or anything like that. So those are really kind of the updates as I have them for guys that are either still hurt or just coming back.
Level of optimism about this New York Yankees season, as we know you're a huge fan of the pinstripes. Give me 1 to 10.
I'd say an 8. It would be a 10 if all these guys weren't getting hurt in spring training, because I'm kind of a believer in the old thing, and whether it's football or baseball, if you don't leave camp healthy, you'll never be healthy, you know? So I'd still go with an 8 or maybe even a 9 if I was feeling a bit better today, but it's only because of the injuries. I think the team's stacked.
Hey, are they burying DJ LeMahieu somehow in this lineup?
No. He's gonna play 6 or 7 times a week then.
Okay.
They're basically gonna rotate the infield on a pretty daily basis, and he's gonna play second base, if I had to guess, 3 or 4 times a week, and third base a couple times a week. He's gonna play a lot.
That's why I came to you. We've got a mutual acquaintance whose name I won't mention who basically said they're not gonna play the guys. Like, nah, they pay too much for that.
Oh, you can't be right. I love it, man. They got a lot of home run hitters. I think what they needed was a guy like him that's going to put the bat on the ball, hit some singles, hit some doubles, give you a lot of defensive versatility. I love that signing. I thought he was
James
exactly
Moran.
What they needed.
That's maybe a good friend for
tangent, I'd like it a little more, but you know,
that's true. I just like that you spit facts, right? LSU, the Yankees, you don't let any misnomers fly. You know, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
No problem, Ben. Enjoy your weekend, buddy. Talk to you next week.
That man right there doing things that I did for about 3.5 years, so I get it. He covered Pro Day today. He'll be all over the baseball coverage. He'll put out a magazine on Sunday. He'll probably be preparing to put out a special edition, you know, 4-color, thick, glossy edition before too long, because they're doing a lot of that great work now at Tiger Rag Magazine. And, oh, by the way, send out the e-letter, populate.com. Make sure the socials are sharing and do the radio show on Tuesday night. So, hard-working man. I know that, well, because I've been there. So we appreciate the time, as always, from James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. All right, on the other side of this break, we got a minute or two before we throw it into that recess. I'm going to throw some shade, and I'm going to warn you up front, I've got a fairly strong opinion on this one. Sometimes we throw shade, and it's a little flippant, right? We have a little bit of fun, if not a lot of bit of fun. Today, we got some snowflake activity that's detected, and I don't mean weather. You stick around, you'll hear exactly what I've got in mind. And don't forget, we just talked to LSU baseball. We're going to send you to LSU baseball within the next 16 to 17 minutes. In fact, a guy that I really kind of cut my teeth with doing sports talk radio, Jeff Palermo, he'll be with Doug Thompson. They'll have the call of the game from another place that's fond of me, Athens, Georgia. That ought to be a lot of fun. Foley Field, if I'm not mistaken. So LSU, Georgia, first pitch at 6 o'clock, the pregame show. Clint and I bringing you right there at 5:30. But we're not done here, not just yet. I do have one final opportunity. I want to make sure to thank our sponsors. And the reality is this. Myself, Raymond Parts III, we've been out here since Monday morning. Within the next 15, 16 minutes, we'll wrap up our coverage from the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open. Now, that's the coverage on air. We're certainly going to have plenty more at 1037thegame.com. We'll come back on Monday and put a bow on things. But as far as live coverage out here, this has been a blast. It is now my, I believe, third year doing these shows here from Lutryoff Golf Course and Country Club. And so we got to thank the people. Hey, when you go to the dance, stay with the ones that brung you. And for us, that's golfballs.com. Cajun Carts, Mike's Marine and ATV in Broussard, Louisiana Range Gun Club in Maurice, and Mueller's Family Pharmacy and Gifts in Abbeville. This has been a blast. You know we'll do it again next year. We'll keep ramping it up, getting bigger and better. And it always helps when you have great local support from businesses like the ones I just mentioned. All right, we're coming back in. It's time for That Shade. I ain't messing around. You're getting the good stuff today. You're also getting an update from Clint, the latest on the leaderboard from here at the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open, presented by Mistras. All that and more when we return. You are listening to B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Oh, yeah. It's how we do it. It's how we send you packing into the weekend. But one more time, this is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And one more time, your boy, happy to be coming to you live from Lutryoff Golf Course and Country Club. And yeah, we know you want the shade. A lot of you are more excited about the LSU baseball. You'll get that, not quite between the hedges, but next door in Athens, Georgia. It's all coming your way momentarily, but we would be remiss as we're here at the home of the 28th Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras if we didn't give you the latest. Let's get a leaderboard update and back to the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. CD, how are they swinging them?
Hello, friends. We're giving you an update on a tradition like any other in Louisiana. That is the Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. And we got to start things off with Vince Covello. He's alone on top at minus 13. His day is done. Round number two in the books for him. He will stand alone atop that leaderboard heading into Saturday, 13 under. Justin Lauer, Greg Yates, Ben Coles, and Xinjun Zhang, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, are all tied up at 11. A tie for second. It's a crowded house right there, but it's also a crowded house for sixth place because we got Boo Weekly, Rafael Campos, and Casey Wittenberg all at 10 under today. Looking at some other notable names, Jacob Bergeron, he's at 3 under, meaning he's above that projected cut line, and his day is done, so it seems like he might be in there like swimwear before it's all said and done. Mike Weir, he's at even par, so odds are he is finished for the weekend if that projected line cut is where it's supposed to be. Quick recap of the top five, or I should say the top six, because we got a few ties in that list. That's Vince Covello, he's at 13 under. Justin Lauer, Greg Yates, Ben Coles, and Xinjun Zhang at 11 under on the day. And then we've got a three-way tie for sixth place with Boo Weekly, two-time Louisiana Open champ Casey Wittenberg, and Rafael Campos, whose day, I believe, is about to wrap up. Xinjun Zhang could very well go up in the... wind up going up a little bit more in the leaderboard, depending on what happens with him later on in his round, because he's currently at the 12th hole.
There you have it. Well done, per the huge. Now, one thing that I get to tell you every single day, I don't have to, I'm thrilled to remind you, it's a PSA for everyone locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers. with the Cypress Accents. And know that you can trust in management. It starts at the top with Mark. He's going to help you sit down, create a vision, and then fulfill it. And before you know it, you'll be watching LSU, UL, the Astros in style. In fact, you'll have the baddest patio game on the block to end 2019. Isn't that something we all should strive for? It all starts with a trip to PatioCenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at PatioCenter.com.
Tissue soft. Baby doo-doo soft. That's what we are as a society if we're really upset. If we really and genuinely are up in arms about Tom Izzo of Michigan State giving one of his players the business late yesterday afternoon in a first-round game for Michigan State, if we're really that bent out of shape about it, this PC thing, we need to find a way to go in the other direction with that. I hate to ever agree with Clay Travis, but I'm starting to understand his DBAP movement. I'll let you figure that acronym out on your own. Now, here's the thing. I actually don't think that everybody in our society, in our sports-loving universe, I'm not sure that everybody is this soft. But what we're starting to realize, if we haven't fully realized it yet, is that the media is soft. The media prepares for blowback. The media, in a lot of ways, tries to get us to believe maybe there's a story and that something is wrong, out of bounds, needs to be punished, when really, it's just kind of the way that things usually are. And tough love ain't bad. What I saw from Tom Izzo, and forgive me, I don't have the young man's name in front of me, but he had a freshman player on the team that didn't give him the type of effort he wanted. It wasn't execution. It was hustle. It was effort. And Izzo lost it on him. I mean, lost it on the young man. And here's the thing. One of his veterans had to step in and basically say, "Coach, just tell me what you want to get through to him. I'll talk to the Rook. We'll get him ready to go. We want to win this game against Bradley. How can I help?" And so that moment sparked leadership, which eventually led to a W. That's a good formula in just about any business for any team. And so here's the shade today. It ain't for Izzo, who's taking flack. It ain't for certain members of the media. And I'll give some credit here. Chris Carter, former Vikings receiver, he's on First Things First, part of FS1, and here's exactly what he said this morning. Quote, "I talked to Coach Izzo last night. He believes in society people are getting soft. They don't want to be pushed. They don't want to be driven. There's a certain standard in every business, and in his business, he set the standard, period," end quote. Good on you, Chris Carter. Even better on you, Tom Izzo. Little tough love never hurt. Izzo said after the game, "This kid made plays for us, but in a win or pack your bags and go home situation, I didn't quite have it from an effort or energy standpoint. That won't cut it anymore." And he is exactly right. It's not the kid, and it's not everyone in society that's tissue soft, as I led off with. But the media perpetrating this BS, asking Izzo basically after the game if he's going to apologize, if he should apologize. Hell, he didn't, and I'm so glad that that's exactly the line that Tom Izzo is towing. Certain members of the media, this shade is for you. You need to leave Izzo alone. Let him coach his. This ain't Bobby Knight choking somebody out. This ain't the general Robert Montgomery Knight throwing chairs and acting an ass. This is leadership.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
It just had to be said. Telling you, we got to watch out what we're doing with some of the messages we're sending. What a way to end the show and end our week here at Lutriumph Golf Course and Country Club. It has been a blast. Again, I want to thank Danny Jones, Harry Potan Jr., and the crew that, again, welcomed Acadiana Sports Station out here. And what a week it's been for Clint and myself, best sports radio show in Louisiana. We're awfully excited about that. And it gives us motivation to continue pushing the envelope, making it bigger and better. Don't forget LSU pregame show tomorrow at 10:30. Tip-off scheduled for a little after 11 o'clock. That's the basketball side of things. Right now, you get LSU baseball in Athens against Georgia. For the famous Clint D, all of you who called, listened, and responded on social media, my name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
NBC Sports Radio Update.